אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. US President Donald Trump announced on Friday that Bahrain is establishing full diplomatic relations with Israel, making it the second Gulf country to do so in less than a month. A statement released by the White House said Bahrain's King Hamad bin Salam Al Khalifa spoke earlier in the day with Prime Minister Netanyahu and agreed to the establishment of full diplomatic relations between Israel and the Kingdom of Bahrain. The joint statement specified that the parties would continue their efforts to achieve a just, comprehensive and enduring resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to enable the Palestinian people to reach their full potential. The Bahraini King's senior advisor, Khalid Al-Khalifa, said in a statement that the normalization deal sends a positive and encouraging message to the people of Israel that a just and comprehensive peace with the Palestinian people is the best path and true interest for their future and the future of the peoples of the region. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip burnt a picture of Bahrain's monarch in protest at the decision. A Hamas official said, "We have to fight the virus of normalization and block all of its paths before it succeeds to prevent it from spreading." Wazel Abu Youssef, a senior member of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, says this is another stab in the back for the Palestinian cause, the Palestinian people and their rights. Hezbollah last night threatened Bahrain with harsh revenge for the decision. At a summit of the 22 member Arab League last week, foreign ministers rejected a Palestinian push to condemn last month's US brokered normalization deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. Senior White House advisor Jared Kushner said on Wednesday that the Trump administration's peace plan is an attempt to save the two-state solution. Kushner said that the Trump plan presented in January this year was still on the table, even though it had been rejected by the Palestinians, and that it provides them with their best hope of stopping continued Israeli settlement expansion in the West Bank, which Israel captured in the 1967 Six-Day War. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be in Washington for the signing of both the treaties with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. The Prime Minister and his family have dropped a plan to fly to Washington on a private plane to attend the ceremony after a public outcry. They will now join the official Israeli delegation, departing Tel Aviv on Sunday evening and heading home on Tuesday afternoon. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu publicly apologized on Tuesday night for the Israeli government's claim that a Bedouin teacher shot dead by police was a terrorist. Yaqub Abul Aikian was shot by police officers in January 2017 when they arrived to oversee the demolition of houses in his home village of Al-Khiran, an unrecognized Bedouin village that the state was raising to clear the way for a new Jewish town. Abul Aikian, a 47-year-old teacher and father of 12, packed a few belongings into his SUV and drove from his house, saying he could not bear to watch his home being demolished. Soon afterwards, Abu Al-Khiyan was shot by police. He lost control of his car, which rammed into a group of officers, killing one of them. After the incident, then Israel Police Chief Roni Al-Sheikh and then Public Security Minister Gilad Erdan called Abu Al-Khiyan a terrorist and alleged that he belonged to Islamic State. On Monday night, reporter Amit Segel published a report revealing that Shai Nitzan, the state attorney at the time, had suppressed evidence that would have challenged Al-Sheikh's assertion that Abu Al-Khayyan was a terrorist. Yaqub's brother Jabir said on Tuesday, "We know the truth. We knew it from the first moment because we all knew who Yaqub was. Yaqub, a beloved leader, educator, father and brother, was murdered in cold blood." Prime Minister Netanyahu went on to claim that the suppression of evidence in this case was a pattern that was a mirror of the corruption case against him. Netanyahu said the entire chain of command is involved. Senior investigators, the chief of police, the state attorney, and everything is sanctioned and authorized by the attorney general. He said the case against him is a corrupt political conspiracy to topple a prime minister. Opposition MKs accused the Prime Minister of opportunism and quashed the idea that there were any parallels between the Al-Khiyan case and his own. Figures released by the Health Ministry last night paint a dire picture of Israel's failure to control the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. The number of coronavirus cases since the start of the pandemic has passed 150,000, with 3,961 new infections over Shabbat. There were another 11 deaths, raising the national toll to 1,101. There are a record 495 people in serious condition, with 138 on ventilators. Another 202 people are in moderate condition and the rest have mild or no symptoms. Hospitals are at capacity. The positive rate of coronavirus tests stands at 9.2%, a figure that has stayed consistently high over the past several days. The high numbers come despite the fact that 978,000 Israelis have been ordered to or volunteered to enter quarantine since July the 1st. This high number is apparently due to Israel's use of advanced spy tools to trace the whereabouts of coronavirus carriers. On Thursday, it was announced that some yeshivas have been declared quarantine hotels due to the high rate of infection. This means that students can continue their studies but are not allowed to leave the premises at all until the health ministry clears the entire student body. An attempt to impose restrictions in 40 communities with the highest infection rates this past week was criticised as too late and thus ineffective. Most of the communities affected were among the poorest in Israel, with the Arab and Haredi towns making up much of the list. The first nightly curfew, imposed between 7 p.m. on Tuesday and 5 a.m. on Wednesday, and other restrictions in towns and neighbourhoods in which 1.3 million Israelis live, were not properly observed or enforced. Ministers in the coronavirus cabinet voted on Thursday to impose a full lockdown nationwide starting later this week for 2 weeks. In the first stage, people will be confined to within 500 metres of their home, with all schools except special education and non-essential businesses closed. Restaurants will only be allowed to open to operate delivery services. In the second stage, restrictions will apply nationally, equivalent to the red level of coronavirus director Professor Ronnie Gamzu's traffic light plan, which labels communities as green, yellow, orange or red according to the infection rate. The third stage will see a full return to the traffic light plan, which imposes restrictions only in high infection rates. The final decision will be made by the Knesset later today, but it seems likely that tough restrictions will be supported. There is currently no clarity on how synagogues will be able to function during the high holy days this coming weekend. Former Army Chief Gadi Eisenkot criticised the government's handling of the coronavirus pandemic on Thursday, declaring the effort a failure and saying the government had lost the public's trust. A letter signed by the Manufacturers Association of Israel, the Chamber of Commerce and other business bodies warned Prime Minister Netanyahu on Friday that a new national lockdown would be disastrous to the economy. Many businesses have threatened to defy closure orders and open up anyway. Protests against the government continued last night around the country. The cabinet hasn't met for 4 straight weeks, an unprecedented freeze of the country's highest decision-making body. There is still no state budget, a situation which, if not rectified by December 23rd, will force the 23rd Knesset to dissolve and new elections to be called. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.